I often say that addiction is the result of not knowing how to find safety inside of yourself. So you find it in something else, and understandably, you get hooked on it because you're desperate for safety. That's all you're guilty of. Any of you looking to learn more about supporting addiction recovery through a trauma-informed and somatic lens and a nutritional lens, please join me for my addiction circle. This is a bi-monthly, entirely free virtual circle that I invite anyone here to come and join if they want more information. Addiction tends to be so steeped in shame, and I find that doing this work in a community of people helps to destigmatize that shame so you can see how not alone you are in the experience. So whether you are personally withdrawing, preventing, experiencing relapse, or you work with people who are actively addicted or in recovery, all are welcome.
The next Addiction Circle will be held on Tuesday, May 7th at 5 p.m. EDT. This meeting is not recorded for the sake of anonymity. No registration is necessary. Just join through the link below.
On today's episode, I navigate how to keep a boundary with someone without the harmful or painful story about the person. Welcome to the Holistic Life Navigation Podcast. I am your host, Luis Mujica. I was sick and depressed until I discovered that I could make music, and then my whole life transformed because I began learning how to listen more deeply. Listen to life, to the people around me, and to my body. And that's when I realized that the body speaks through sensations, and learning this new language meant relearning my body and mind. I soon healed myself of many chronic conditions, and then began teaching others how to do so as well. Holistic Life Navigation combines nutrition, self-inquiry, and somatic experiencing to help you release stress and trauma just by listening to your own body. This podcast serves as a place to share my experiences, as well as the experiences of many others who have healed and are healing through unique, unorthodox, and unusual ways. Your time to learn begins now. I don't have to create or maintain a negative story about you to also maintain my boundary with you. My body tells me when you're not right for me, and I can listen to that and respond more rapidly and with less pain than a story about you. You're mean, you hurt me, you gaslit me. All of this just stresses out my system and validates why I need space from you. But can't my inner knowing, the place inside of me without stories, also validate that space? It's an interesting practice in a world where we're asked to prove things all the time. Our stories about others are our proof. But imagine if we released them and just validated our own choices with our own feelings. My body feels bad around yours. I lose myself when I'm with you. The way you talk overwhelms me. This is me owning what happens in my body in response to you, rather than a story I must live with about you. It brings me directly in touch with me and my parts that need holding and witnessing as I navigate my boundaries with you. And in that clarity, I lose the story of you while maintaining my boundaries from you because I feel what my body needs. This is something I've been sitting with because I find, as a trauma therapist and as someone who had PTSD for many years, our stories about the event or person invoke the pain over and over again, even when we're away from it, even when it's over. And when I say our stories, I don't mean we're sitting down consciously writing a horrible story about somebody. This is largely unconscious and reflexive. Stories are how we orient toward making sense of something. Stories are how we try to organize a really complex reality or overwhelming experience. So if I feel bad around you, it's not as reflexive to just feel my own badness in my body, whatever that sensation is. It's more reflexive and more normal, let's say, or common, to reflexively make organize a reality around your identity, who you are, what your motives are, what's wrong with you, in response to how I feel in my body. And all that really does is orient me away from my own feelings and needs, and simultaneously activate my body even more. We can all try it right now with me. Take a breath and think about a negative story you have about somebody. They're mean, they're stupid, they're rude, I can't trust them. And notice as I'm even saying those words what you feel in your body. I feel an immediate constriction in my stomach. Notice what you feel in yours. Now, this isn't about even going into any proving of the story being right or wrong. It's just noticing how we feel the story. Does the story create peace, or does the story create pain? You might be someone who lies to me. That could actually be true. And it doesn't change anything if I make that story about you. It doesn't heal me. It doesn't help you. It doesn't help anybody else. It creates an idea, an identity of you that separates me and maybe even others from you. And then I have to live with you in my body. So as my mind replays you lying to me, as my thoughts keep saying how much you lie, or, oh, I'm so glad I don't lie like they do, I'm feeling this charge in my body. And that charge helps me build up my defenses against you. Now, what's so interesting about this somatically is whenever we're thinking something negative about someone or something, or thinking something painful, or thinking something overwhelming or threatening, we feel that on a biological level inside of us. So we physically will feel a sense of charge, of anxiety, of activation. And the purpose of that feeling, that activation, is to mobilize us into fighting or flighting. So when I'm gossiping about somebody, when I'm thinking about what someone has done wrong, when I'm telling the story out loud or unconsciously in my own mind, or quietly in my own mind, I should say, my body's going into a physiology of threat response. So even though I'm away from this person, even though this person could be dead, my body is still feeling an active threat as if they're in the room doing that to me. And that's what's so powerful about the somatics of presence, the somatics of now. It's not just an idea of being the now and let's just accept the now. It's this actual physical practice of noticing how now feels compared to the past or future. My past story about you, my future expectation about you, is creating pain in my body now when you're not even in the room with me. I don't deserve that. Maybe you don't even deserve that either. Someone isn't a liar 100% of the time. So for me to fix them into that identity isn't very fair for them, and it hurts my body. So I'm going to read something that I wrote. I thought that to keep my boundaries, I had to keep my pain. I had to keep proving to myself why someone was horrible. I had to prove it to others through gossip and the repeating of a story about them hurting me. Then I noticed I was just hurting myself because they were gone. I noticed that people who had died, moved away, or even transformed their habits still caused me pain inside. How? Because I invited the pain innocently and unconsciously by orienting to the stressful experiences I had with them. My story about who they were was hurting my body. So I learned to drop the story and pick up the reality. It was over. Woo! The feeling was and is so good. The absence of them and the experience is an immediate opening in my body, a biology of safety. I no longer needed the story to justify my boundaries because I found a better proof, the reality of how good my body feels away from them. So I have a little exercise here for us. how to stop stressing ourselves out with our stories about other people. When I tell myself a stressful story about you, to myself or others, I feel it inside of my body. This is what prolongs any pain I've experienced with you. You can be gone, you can be dead, you can be in another state or country, yet my story about you invokes you back into my life every time I focus on it or tell it. This isn't my fault. This is how I try to make sense of stressful and painful situations. I can still have boundaries with you, end our relationship, or say no to seeing you, even without a story. I don't need to invite pain into my body to validate my preferences of not wanting to be around you. It's okay. So everyone listening, try this with me if you want. Look around the room that you're in right now and notice how this person isn't here. If they are here, notice if they're doing the thing that stresses you out or not. If they're not, see how that feels. If they are, go into a room where you can be alone. Now feel how it lands in your body, their absence, or the absence of this expression. What parts of you can feel the absence of them? Notice that. Really breathe into it. Touch it with your hand if you want to. This is the beginning of updating the body to the current reality. They're gone, or the situation is over. Feel the parts that revel in that. Allow yourself to breathe, move, and even make sounds from this place inside of you that feels their absence. In this very moment, you're not focusing on the painful story or event with them. You're orienting to the reality that right now is not happening. With more practice, you start to actually enjoy the state of peace. When we feel safe with peace, which is really a somatic defenselessness, we notice the charge in our bodies from the stressful stories much quicker. And then we orient toward the peace and not the stressful story. This peace is all the proof we need to know we don't have capacity to be around this person. It's fine if it changes, and it probably will. But for now, relish in the reality of how good it feels to be in their absence, and that is your validation. You no longer have to spend your time in pain cycling through your story about them. You no longer have to spend your time telling others your story about them. You get to skip all of that and say, "Huh, doesn't this peace feel great?" And you get to just follow that sensation of peace. This is a very important practice that has changed my life, because instead of freezing my body into these painful sensations around past experiences or expected futures, I get to be in a state of peace, which means even if I have to come in contact with the person again and the same behavior arises and the same situation occurs, I was able to feel the reality of all that space I had from them until that point. Which means my body is dipping into moments of safety. Any of you that have ongoing relational traumas, so if you live with someone who's abusive, if you live with someone who triggers you, if you work with someone that's hard to be around, if you live in a city where you're around people and just their bodies overwhelm you because there's so many, there are always moments in between the ruptures that our bodies get to settle into. And in that settling, we release the charge from the rupture, and it doesn't become a trauma. It becomes something that's over, and we release the charge so we don't become traumatized from it. It's such an important thing to learn, because we can't promise ourselves that things aren't going to happen, that ruptures aren't going to happen. What we can promise ourselves, or work toward promising ourselves, is that in between the ruptures, we'll do our best to notice that they're over. And it's not enough to tell yourself it's over. It's not enough to say get over it. It has to be a somatic experience, which means your body has to actually believe it and experience it sensationally. Because these ruptures and experiences with others are sensational biological events. It's not enough with just the mind, unless the body really believes the mind. We have to show the body, which is why I love looking around the room and feeling the absence. We need to physically, visually, sensationally show the body that thing you're carrying right now isn't happening. Can you feel that? And what's really cool is we'll usually feel it in a certain place in our body. It won't be global. It might be our chest, might be our feet, might be our face. As we're noticing the room and we're noticing visually and physically right now, it's over, it's not happening, it's just in my mind. Notice what part of you responds to that and how does it respond? Most people will feel a release, a softening, a deeper breath. They'll feel more present in the room. And that's a part of your body that is thawing out of the freeze from being in remembrance and in expectation of a threatening event with somebody or something. Now, the final part of this is the piece around boundaries. We don't need reasons for boundaries. For me, boundaries are a result and an expression of my capacity. So if a friend that I love dearly says to me, let's go out dancing tonight, and I'm exhausted, I don't have the capacity, I really want to be alone, my boundary is really just my need. It's me saying, I'm sorry, love, I can't go out tonight. Next time. Thanks for inviting me. That's my boundary. Only because I'm in touch with where my body is, and my body is expressing its need and where it is based on capacity. The same is true for someone who overwhelms me. The same is true for someone that I have traumatic experiences with. If I'm around you and something you do overwhelms my body, whether you're right or wrong, all I care about is my body. I want to be with, how's my body feeling about this? Because I've been in enough relationships now in my life, friendships, love, intimate relationships, to learn that one's perception of a human being is different for each person based on their capacity. So for instance, there used to be this woman I worked with at a corner store a long time ago, and no one liked her. Everyone was afraid of her. She was very harsh. She didn't laugh or smile. She was very serious. I thought she was just the best thing that ever happened to anybody. She was an interesting character to me. I saw this kind of tenderness and vulnerability to her that was coming out through this angst, and I loved being around her. So no one wanted to work on her shift, and I said, you can put me on her shift whenever you want. So I was on her shift all the time. And one day she was going through one of her experiences of, I think she was yelling at a customer, she was cussing someone out, I don't know what it was. Some rupture was occurring, and I just started to laugh. And that's not the best thing to do, but it was honest for me. I was just delighted in her. She was very entertaining. And my laughter woke something up in her. And she looked at me and she goes, what are you laughing at? What the hell are you laughing at? And I said, I'm sorry. I just think you're wonderful. I'm laughing at you. And then she started laughing and we became really good friends. And so I have this theme in my life. My wife has this too. We were just talking about this the other day, where we tend to befriend and really just adore people that a lot of other people don't like. And it's not because I have this like special capacity. I just have a different capacity for certain people. And so one person that could be toxic for you isn't toxic for me. One person that really irritates me might not irritate you at all. So stories about people don't really work for me because each person is experienced differently based on our individual capacities for connection. And that's why with a boundary, again, around someone who you have painful experiences with, focusing on the story of them and what they do wrong just removes and distracts you from what you're feeling around them, which actually makes it harder to have a boundary. I find boundaries even easier and more clear when I don't have a story about someone, because then I'm in direct connection with myself. So I'd love to use the example, let's say I'm with a friend who's always talking over me. My body starts to get overwhelmed. I could go into a story of this person's selfish. This person never listens to me. They only care about themselves. They're a narcissist. I can go into all these stories. And by doing so, I wind my body up. I put out negative identity and ideas about this person to other people. So I unconsciously manipulate them to not like this person. And I effectively distract myself from what happens in my body when they cut me off. I want to know that in this lifetime. I want to build my capacity so if someone cuts me off, I don't get triggered. I don't have to like getting cut off, but I can be okay with it. I can feel a safety in someone talking over me. And in that safety, I can even mobilize in the moment and say, whoa, you just spoke over me. Do you notice that? Or you've been talking for 10 minutes. I'm getting a little tired. Can I talk or do you want to go for a walk? These strange, clear responses come out when we're not in fight or flight because we have our brain. We're fully connected to ourselves, our desires, and we're embodied in the experience. We're not dissociating. So understanding how releasing the story actually helps me maintain and even better express a boundary is incredibly important. And you'll learn this yourself as you practice this more. Because you'll notice, instead of saying to my friend, I can't hang out with you because you always talk over me. And until you focus on that, I can't be your friend. Instead of saying that, I just say, you know, this thing happens when we hang out. I get really overwhelmed. I get really overwhelmed and I'm going to work on it. But until I feel like I have the capacity for it, I'm just going to stay home or I need a little break. Or let's just hang out, you know, once a while. Or let's just go dancing. Let's not do anything where we talk. I can negotiate even my capacity for the person. How am I able to be in relationship with them? Or if I'm not, I just don't have to see them. But my boundary doesn't come because of my story about them. It comes because of what my body's telling me I'm feeling when I'm around them. And then in their absence, I can do my own work to uncouple what it is they bring up in me. And I can learn, oh, are they triggering me? And when I work with the trigger, I love being around them, which I've experienced with plenty of friendships. Or regardless of not being triggered, do I prefer to not be around them? And that's a really cool difference to learn. My preference compared to my triggers. When I'm triggered, I'm in a state of urgency and fear and threat and immediacy. I can't really think. I'm more so going to react and trauma respond. Because what the person's doing is reminding my body of something I've been carrying around that I'm not even aware of. A preference is I'm embodied. I don't feel threatened. I don't feel unsafe. I might feel a little overwhelmed. I might feel some unpleasant sensations. But I'm noticing in that moment what I have the ability to change. I'm sitting here with this person. I can get up and leave at any point. Do I prefer to get up and leave or do I prefer to sit here? It's super simple. And without a story, it's not very complex. And I probably won't freeze in response to it. I'll just move and express and be in a state of freedom based on what my body needs and what feels right for me. So I hope this episode is helpful. It's so nuanced, this discussion, and I don't think it's going to end anytime soon. Maybe I'll do a webinar on it sometime soon, but let me know your thoughts. You can always go to the website and there's a contact form and let us know your questions or more requests about the subject. And I can do more episodes on it. We are currently offering any more courses this year in 2022. But in 2023, I will have a few groups that I'm doing, small, intimate 20-person groups, as well as more courses and more offerings. So you can go to my website, holisticlifenavigation.com, and learn more about those and how you can apply or be part of them. Thank you so much for listening. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. My question for you is, where do you feel the episode? Take a breath and just notice. What's your body doing right now? Sit with it. Let it speak to you. And let whatever comes up, come up. And your only job is to listen. For all the wisdom you need is right inside of you. To learn more about my work, you can visit holisticlifenavigation.com and sign up for my mailing list. You'll receive a weekly newsletter with specific monthly topics, free resources, and upcoming events. You can also follow me on Instagram. If you like my podcast, please leave a review and share. Thank you so much for joining me. I'll see you next time. Hey everybody, it is time. It is time to hop on a plane, a train, a boat, a goat, a bike, a car, and find your way upstate New York to a little town outside of Phoenicia. I don't know what the town's called, actually. But the place that we're going to be in is called Menla. And it is a gorgeous epic retreat center in the middle of the forest in the Catskill Mountains, with a spa and organic vegetarian food with lots of beans and yoga in the morning and a swimming pool and a swimming hole and trails. And yes, it is an HLN retreat. It is a 5-day retreat from Wednesday, June 12th to Sunday, June 16th. It is the biggest retreat we've ever put on, and the entire team is going to be there. They are all flying from different corners of the country to come together to hold you in the healing magic that is Somatics. We will be teaching you how to belong without having to fit in, how to find safety inside of yourself and share that with others, how to receive witnessing, how to feel for your boundaries instead of fawning. We are going to cover so much, and you're going to be doing it in the most ideal setting of being fed, of being loved, of resting, of enjoying the forest and nature, and being with us and 60 other bodies. So please go to the website, holisticlifenavigation.com, and click on events, and you'll find it there. Wednesday, June 12th to Sunday, June 16th. All the info as well can be found directly through the link in this episode details. I am just so thrilled for this, and I can't wait to see some of you in person.